looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Gosh, you have to move your child and everything then. Wow, look at you.
You have two kids, two cats in a household. I just completely emptied out my house and drove across the country.
Oh my God, that's amazing. You know what I love? That you brought your kitties. Were they okay in the car, right? They were cool. Oh, well, hello. I didn't even hear the music. Well, welcome everyone to Light on Living. I didn't hear the music, so you guys got to hear a sneak peek and in behind the scenes there. we'll just kickstart this again. So actually, yes, everybody, welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. And as you might have just heard there are so many things that we can do to, like, they're not really challenges if we just have a different perspective and if we have assistance along the way. And funny enough that I was talking about, without knowing this exactly, about replanting and how do we, what if we were just to be replanted, plucked from our environment, whether by choice or conditions, and how would we, you know, strengthen, and first of all, give the nutrients to that soul and strengthen our stem and our seed. And so here we go. Our guest, she just moved. And so this is going to be a part of the show because I think this is shows a lot of strength. And I want to say not just courage, but an inner knowing and having an inner compass and trusting it no matter where, because you have those things. And she said something just before the show, and I have to say this, and I'm quoting her, everybody deserves to be conscious. That really struck me there. And her name's Courtney, and I'm going to tell you about her. But when Courtney said that everybody deserves to be conscious, this isn't just like only you over there. And if you get to over here, you can do that. And if you're a good person, you can do this. This is for everyone. And so I'm really excited. I want to introduce you to Courtney. And she is a conscious consultant who takes people into personal power through inner peace. Finding the Force is a step-by-step system uniting mind, body, and spirit. And that is a blend of traditional medicine and ceremony with Qigong and yoga. And when we say that, I really want to highlight that, finding the Force. And she's created a system. And I mean, there's a reason why she created the system, like, because she says she believes everybody deserves to be conscious. So welcome, Courtney, to the show. Hello.
Hello, Lisa. I am so excited to be here with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, yay. We had spoke 2 months ago. You know what? It could be three, could be one, but I know it was a while ago. And I cannot believe how, with the equinox is happening, like the feeling of time, but then we just mentioned, let's just jump right into this. You, because I have to talk about it. Okay, so when we spoke 2 months ago or whatnot, you did not know you were moving. And then boom, all of a sudden, oh my gosh, you're living in Albuquerque. You moved to New Mexico. Ah, what happened?
Well, I studied here for 10 years and built community here with my traditional Native American elder. And so it's not a foreign place to me, and it wasn't really a coincidence. So framing it that way is a little bit easier to understand how I could quickly decide to move. We have a huge community here of beautiful spiritual beings that we built together. I had a long residency because, you know, it's a serious business, you know, administering medicine and pouring sweat lodge and all of this, taken really, really seriously. So anyway, in the process of studying, we built community. And then when I was in New York and on the East Coast, it was difficult to stay in touch with my people as much as I wanted to. I did, you know, branch out and learn and grow and met lots of amazing humans in New York. But I really wanted to be back home again. We call it the heart of the mother. So I just wanted to be a little bit closer to Big Mama's heartbeat.
Oh, I love that, the heart of the mother. You know, I've never actually thought about what that meant before. That's so neat. Heart of the mother. That's actually interesting that you say that. I want to dive into that one. Two things, community. And I do recall that now when we first spoke, you are huge about community because you see the value of it. And you talked about Native Americans and how, that they thrived in a community. That's how they were able to do so much and continue their journeys. And so when you mentioned about being in New York and there's some wonderful humans. I mean, it's just, it's difficult. And do you believe that it's a culture or the land or what makes it, why, I don't, not why can't, but why isn't there that community in New York and those kind of different places?
Well, I mean, I think in New York and in the East Coast in general, the United States, there's more of a competitive feeling, right? And that's fine. You know, I refer back to Darwin, and everybody refers to Darwin, you know, survival of the fittest, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the big quote that people use. But what people are missing is that Darwin wrote another book at the end of his life and kind of, you know, recanted. And it talked about how through collaboration, cooperation, that's what made humans great. You know, it wasn't that we were bigger than the saber-toothed tiger or that we were faster. You know, there were things that were much bigger and much faster. The elements were harsh and, you know what I'm saying? We had to be smarter. And the way we did that was through consciousness and through love. You know, we took care of each other. And a certain part of our brain developed that dropped us into a different state of consciousness that the other creatures didn't have. So it's sort of the thing that sets us apart from the rest of nature is our ability to collaborate and to communicate in a certain way. So, yeah, I call that community, and I talk about unity consciousness a lot. So
yeah. What is it? Talk about that just for a second. Unity consciousness. I just want to sit on there for a second. Unity, like the uniting of, and then the consciousness. So in your little intro there, we talked about, you know, and a lot of people do think about, okay, mind, body, spirit. What does it mean? How does it feel when we truly have united all of those?
Wow. Well, it's the goal of so many different systems to get you there. But sometimes people lack a map. So essentially what you do is you balance, you know, the body and the spirit. My elder taught me the first thing he taught me, and he said the first thing you have to teach everyone is that you're human, right? So you have an aspect of you that's a quality of light, a hue of light, right? Yeah, and then there's man, which is the organic body, which is temporal and which is organic, and it's going to go back to the earth. So the dash that I put between hue and man is the mind. And that is what yoga is, for example. It means to yoke. So you're actually yoking the spirit into the body and uniting it. And what it feels like is just this wonderful state of being where you get rid of the mental chatter. Another one of my favorite authors, Joseph Chilton Pierce, talked about rooftop chatter, roof brain chatter. And I think Miguel Ruiz calls it mitote, which is kind of like smack talk, the storyteller. So everybody's like talking in their head, and they have their little stories and their little worries. And as long as you're in that part of your brain, then you're not in your heart. And it is kind of one or the other. But when we quiet the mind and we're breathing deeply, I mean, all you have to do is just breathe deep to drop into a different state of consciousness.
Yeah.
And when you do drop into the heart, that's where we're all one, you know, and that's the way out into the universe. It's not power over, it's power with, and it's power through in your peace. You know what I mean?
Everything you're saying feels so, like, hugging my soul. It's like all these little words and, power through. Yeah, we don't want to power over. We want to power through and with it. And you're so right. That breath is so important that you can feel it. You do. You literally immediately drop into a different place. And the breath, it does quiet the mind immediately. It's like a magical wand. It goes whoosh. And everything you're offering right now. I want to go into what you said about the mind chatter. So we have a story. We have our worries. If we're sitting in there, then that's what we get. That's what we're living. But to go into, so you do a lot, like I'm thinking 10 years, sweat lodge and meditation. Does someone need to remove themselves from society to do that, or can you do it all together?
I absolutely believe that you can do it all together. I think it's more challenging when you have the distractions of the modern world, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about New York City versus New Mexico. And so this is like the really extreme examples, the two things. And I know a lot of people in New York who are very conscious, very, you know, beautiful, kind people. But for the most part, people are very much in competition. And they think that by getting one over on someone else, that they're getting somewhere. But the truth is we're all one on some level. And until we learn to cooperate, we're going to be stuck in kind of the basement level of consciousness and evolution. So I think it's important for people to learn how to do it in the urban environment. And that's why I was in New York, is I was trying to help people in that environment to really go within and let go of the outer trappings, you know, the materialistic stuff. And when you're judging yourself as being other than or someone being less than, then you immediately lose that heart space where you're extremely powerful. So it's interesting that real power comes from the heart and comes from kindness and peace. I find a lot more of that in New Mexico. There's a lot of poverty, but there's also a lot of culture, and there's a lot of kindness and love and community. People just think about things in a different way.
Yes. Yeah.
So it does lend itself towards consciousness, I would say.
Yeah. I love that you said the word culture. It's funny because I feel like when I step into my home, my space that I've created, it is like I'm stepping into, let's say, New Mexico, you know, versus New York City outside, because we really created that space. And it's very sacred to me. And when it's thrown, it affects my entire world. And it's, I think that everybody, and I just, my gift, my prayer for everybody would be to that they find a space that can allow them to go into that and create their own culture that cultivates that peace that they're needing to go on the journey. Now, you do some really cool stuff, and I would love for you to talk about these journeys, because you do retreats and the journey within that retreat and finding the force. And so you can go from, okay, so you're in a crazy, hectic world, and then you can go on a nice, calm, breathing meditation for an hour or two. But then you also assist people and do, I can't remember the name. I think we're back on. Are we all good?
All right. I'm here. I'm ready.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. All right. And we're actually going to skip the commercial. So we're going to go straight through because we're on to something really big here. We're speaking with Courtney, and she's created Finding the Force with a whole step-by-step system. And what you shared there, first of all, is really valuable to me. I want to highlight this. People who are expecting the medicine to do the work, that they're in for a surprise, because we need to do the work first, and then we can go to the medicine to ask for further assistance and for, like you said, allowing a bigger perspective maybe, or a deeper perspective, or a more loving perspective. And I love, hey, I've been to the Louvre, oh my gosh. And you know what? First of all, it's so big. Like, you could spend days and days, and you can either, which was what happened to me, I was so overwhelmed, I was like, oh my God, get me out of here. But because I wasn't ready. Because you know what? I think there's something that, maybe I was looking for to hear this too, so I'm really appreciative of you, Courtney, for saying this. There's a lot of work that we need to do to have, you said, the set and the setting. And when somebody's, you were mentioning your clients have either had, you know, they're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, they are dealing with some kind of strange illness that they just aren't sure of. Could you share with us, like, without, you know, telling us who it is or whatnot, but what is one of those unexplained illnesses that you've helped that by finding the force and finding the peace that they've overcome?
You know, I'm going to go to something less mysterious than something unexplained. I've had dozens of people come to me that had, you know, unidentifiable, incurable illnesses. But since I can't tell you what they were, it would be complicated to explain the symptoms. But what I can go to is, for example, diabetes. Okay. I've had several clients who were, you know, having to take a lot of insulin. They were starting to get numbness and, you know, lack of sensation in their extremities, which obviously, you know, terrifies people, because that means that amputation is, you know, coming close. So that's when they start to get desperate and they say, oh my God, I would do anything to fix this disease. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people who are willing to get into a state of prayer and openness, then they end up on my doorstep somehow. So I've had half a dozen people with advanced diabetes who are completely off of insulin now. And it's miraculous that things like that can happen. I can't guarantee that it will happen for everyone, but these people were all people who were already changing their diet, who were already doing yoga, qigong, you know, some of them going to sweat lodge and other types of ceremonies. And they came with this earnest desire. And that's what it really is when in your heart you're completely ready to heal, you will, you know? Mm. And it is a lot of work that we have to do on our own. But, you know, it's years and years we spend messing up our bodies and messing up our lives. And, you know, it's not going to happen overnight that you unravel all of those knots. But it's kind of like a tapestry, you know? We have to tease out those knots and reconnect the threads to make a more meaningful pattern, let's say.
I love what you just said, that when you're ready to heal, you will. And I think that a lot of times we think we just want to heal. We do. Like, you know, say I mentioned this on our last show. I was having sciatica issues. And it's so funny because I often think, do I want, like, this is going a little bit psychosomatic and deep maybe, but I'm thinking maybe I don't want it to heal. Like, so, you know, unbeknownst to me kind of thing consciously, but because maybe the sciatica is actually keeping me from, maybe it's making me stay put in one place, you know what I mean, to deal with it and work with it. Like it's a ground, maybe it's grounding for me, you know? I don't know. But what I'm saying is that I love what you said. When you're ready to heal, you will. And a lot of people don't want to think that they have, that they're in control and that they can, that they have the power to heal because they want something else to fix it outside of them. But that was really big what you said about when you are ready to heal. And ready, it means a lot. Ready means a lot of work. Ready means a lot of acknowledgement and tapping in and figuring out, like the tapestry you said.
It's true.
So I have a question about sweat lodges.
Great.
Okay, yeah, I can honestly say that I've never been in one because I absolutely hate sweating, but I know it's valuable and purposeful. What is this? I understand, like, let's talk about, like, just for detoxification purposes, great, I understand. But what is the shamanism kind of clear, like, what is it for? Why would you do that?
Okay, we have traditionally three different levels of sweat lodge. And the first level is a community building level. It's almost like an aspect of like a Native American church style thing. You know, like my organization doesn't have a religion. So I just want to say I'm part of the Church of the Spiritual Path. It's not a religion. So anything that I say that sounds religion-y, it's not.
Okay.
So, you know, we use it to build community. First of all, we use it to build a group mind. When we go into a sweat lodge, we're going back into the womb of mother. And we all crawl into this circular space together. And traditionally, we bring in hot lava stones, and we call them grandmothers and grandfathers. And as we pour water onto the stones and we're completely in the dark, then we absorb the wisdom of the ancient ones. And we're all in the dark, so we're not seeing each other anymore with our external senses, but we begin to feel each other with our hearts. And there's this vast open space that's developed. In that level of sweat lodge, it isn't very hot, and it's not so much about sweating as it is about the ceremony.
Oh.
So something like that would be wonderful for you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it doesn't get too hot. But you have this magical experience, and when you crawl back out of that birth canal, you're completely reborn. You're a new person every time.
That is phenomenal. That is so beautiful. I actually felt all cozy warm thinking about it.
Yeah. Oh, we do feel cozy warm.
Yeah. When you put on, like, I have these amazing slippers that my neighbor down the street, she knitted. And I'm just telling you, when I put them on, my foot feels like it's going in a womb. It's like, oh, it's so nice in there. but I love that you're saying about the wisdom. And now, so you pour the water, it creates steam on the hot lava stones. And that is symbolic of the grandmother's and grandfather's wisdom that were... what is it like? Are we absorbing it or just gaining this clarity?
Absolutely. I mean, gosh, it sounds like you know a lot about this. I mean, you're really nailing it. When we breathe in that air, then we're absorbing the wisdom of the ancient ones. Now, we found with modern science that there are charged ions that come off of those stones that are actually very healing. You know, like the kind of ions that you get off of a river or off of the ocean. So now we know that those particles are healing us at a different level as well. But we refer to it as the wisdom of the ancient ones. If you think about it, our planet in the beginning was kind of like a hot ball of lava. And, you know, there was this rain that would come down and the steam would go up. So it really does take us back to like the most primordial ancient ooze of what we are.
Right, right. And how long would you do that for? Like how long would that last for?
It depends, but we always have four doors. So we measure it indoors. We measure it in four directions. So again, coming back to the medicine wheel, like we have an obsession, especially me, I have a complete obsession with the medicine wheel and the four directions.
Yeah.
So we have four rounds. And what we call it a door, because you open up the door, you bring in more stones, you close the door again, and it's completely dark once again, and there are more stones. So we open the door four times and close the door. And that's why we say we have four doors or four rounds.
Oh, my God.
And it can be anywhere between an hour and a half to 6 or 8 hours. I've been in hundreds of different lodges, and every culture has its own way of doing it. It's really amazing. Just all these different flavors of ice cream, basically, spiritual candy.
Oh, I love that. Oh, spiritual candy. Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's going to be your next book, just so you know.
Yeah.
I love that. You know,
we could co-author a book called Spiritual Candy.
I think that would be perfect. Yeah, that would be funny as a holistic nutritionist, and I think it makes sense.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? It's so funny. I have smudged, you know, many times, many, many times. And then, as I said, I love to create my space. I have something that I'm doing this interview in right now. It's called the event room. It's one specific room that just, and I've done every show pretty much, I think all out of over 100 now of them in this room. It has a very intense, beautiful energy. And I've always smudged, done my thing. But one time I was like, oh, I haven't done it for a long time. So my sister was living with me at the time. And I was like, do you have any sage? And she said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So she gave it to me. And in it was a little piece of paper. And it was on how to smudge with the four directions. And I didn't know.
Wow.
I didn't. And I was like, what? There's animals and there's a meaning. And I was just like, well, of course, I love animals. So now I was like, oh, I can picture, you know, a cute little fox and a bear and an eagle and all these things. But is there a totem in your world? Like if the stuff that you teach and study, is the totem and the animals something a part of you?
Absolutely. So I study culture. Like I got into this path years ago when I was a kid because I was interested in culture. My grandmother was Native American, but we had lost our culture because we were converted and conquered. Mm. And so I started looking at it in college, and I studied culture. And it turns out the culture is like the foundational piece of humanity, right? Mm. So I'm like, wow, that's really fascinating. Like, how did the Native Americans deal with culture? And it turns out that it's all symbolic language. So spirit speaks in symbols, right? You know,
yes.
I'm really surprised when I hear people say that God came down and told them something, because I'm like, dang, God never spoke to me like that. Like, I always get messages that I have to, like, decode, right? And they're always symbolic. So it turns out that, you know, all these different levels of our consciousness are working at a symbolic level. And the deepest levels, like in the unconscious, are purely symbolic. You know, like when you have a dream and you have to kind of decode it because it's symbolic. Well, so that's why we teach people about these totems and we develop symbolic literacy. So see, for example, the east is the direction of the rising sun. So, you know, for me at least, that means fire. It means new beginnings. It's the spring equinox. So that's the time when all the little plants are shooting up and there's so much energy in the world. And that direction, the totem for me is the eagle. Oftentimes people talk about a flying serpent. Quetzalcoatl is the Mesoamerican version of that. So it just means if you connect with the essence of that animal, you take on its power. And also it communicates things to you. We call it making relations, but it's, you know, in Western terminology, you would call it building symbolic language. Mm-hmm. And so then your unconscious and your conscious have a connection. Does that make sense?
Yes. I love what you specifically said there. When you connect with an animal, like the totem animal, you take on its power, its essence. That is actually huge to me because there's so many people, is what you're saying, are struggling or dealing with or need to take a next step of something, but they need help. They need assistance. They need a guide. And to be able to take on that essence and that power that animal or whatever it is has, you have it. You're borrowing it. I love this term. I keep using borrowed belief. And the smoke, I guess, or whatever you're using with it, or whatever ceremonial piece you're using, helps to, what is it, so maybe solidify it or ground it with you or unify it?
Yeah, absolutely. Power pieces are so important. And also like doing the work, like doing the research. So I take people around the medicine wheel and we start in the east. So I'll say, okay, like, think about your infancy and your early childhood. Think about spring. Think about fire and new beginnings and transformation. And then find an animal that represents that for you and do the research on it. Like, I want you to come back knowing everything about it. I want you to know, like, how it cares for its young, how it mates, what it eats, what's its habitat. You know what I'm saying? Like, really put yourself in the shoes of that animal. And when you give it that respect and you connect with it, you take on a certain power. And also you're nourishing that being, right? Like it's a two-way street. Because our emotions and our thoughts and our heart, that's what nourishes the spirit. So it is a two-way street then. And, you know, it's like, what have you done for me lately? Nobody and nothing is going to do something for you unless you do something for them.
Right.
And so when you call on the eagle, for example, if you've been thinking about it and nourishing it, maybe leading little spirit offerings for it, you know, we take some food off of our plate before we start eating and we offer it to the spirits and to our guardians. And that's a way of nourishing.
Oh.
If you've been taking care of it, then it'll take care of you.
Okay, wait a second. That's okay. So I have quite the cute little vision here. So you have your food and your plate and you take a little bit. And what do you do with it? Like, where does it go, the food?
Well, in a traditional setting, like where we feel safe, because, I mean, remembering like how long Native Americans have been persecuted without getting into the negative, I'll tell you the modern version of it, how it looks, and I'll tell you the traditional version.
Okay.
Like when we're feeling safe, we actually put a whole plate together and we all, you know, like really focus on it and bless it. And you make sure that it's like the best of the best. So the best cut of the meat and the best berries and some flowers. And you can go like really ornate on this. And you see the Hindus and the Buddhists doing this as well. So I'm sure that they have this awareness as we do. But in a modern setting, it's really funny. Like you're sitting in Albuquerque, you can look around a diner and you'll see at the end, if you're an observant Native American, there'll be a little bit of food that the person leaves on their plate. So it's a very quiet way. We push it aside in the beginning and we will not eat that.
Oh,
if somebody else eats it, that's fine. If your cat or dog comes and eats it, that's fine, you know. But you can't eat your own spirit offering. You have to leave it on the plate.
Oh.
So it's pretty cool because I can go into a cafe or something and look around. And I'm like, hey, brother, hey, sister. Because they leave a little bit of food in a sacred way.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. That's so interesting. Actually, it's making me think when I was raised Anglican. So when we went to church, we kept communion and you get that little wafer, a little piece of bread. And by that time, you're starving to death. You're like, thank God. But okay. So there's, you know what? I love that in the culture, it's created like every day, something is bringing you back. Something is connecting you. So you're never alone. You never have to go, okay, Wednesdays I'm going to yoga, only on this day I'm doing this. It's a part of your life.
Yeah. Every meal, every day. You know, like my, you know, Islamic brothers and sisters will pray to Mecca. What is it? 3-4 times a day?
Yeah.
Is there observant? Well, we're supposed to pray as well, at least twice a day. So, I mean, we do meditation or we do some type of ceremonial work where we're bringing our consciousness back to the spirit world, to the eternal place and to our hearts. It's really, you know, like shamans, if you've ever read Castaneda stuff, he talks about personal power. And it's really interesting because that's what we're doing is we're gathering our personal power every time we go into meditation, prayer, yoga, or we make those little offerings. We're gathering our personal power because we have an energy body that needs to be charged every day. I mean, certainly we're aware that we go into the world and we kind of get sucked dry. At least I feel like that sometimes.
Yeah.
You have to recharge your battery. Like you have an energy body that has to be charged. And
right.
So we do that with our personal practice. And the more you charge it, the stronger it gets. Like, you know, it's not like a battery. When you get a double A, it can only hold so much charge. Your energy body can keep on growing and growing and getting stronger. So that's why we keep coming back to it every day.
I think that's so beautiful. You actually give it the true and the original meaning of feeding the little bits of energy. Because when I do think of sometimes going to a yoga class, I think a lot of us will think, okay, it's because we want to strengthen our body, which we do. We want to strengthen those bodies and hold those poses and look phenomenal and have the flexibility and have that breath work. But there is so much more. And I think that by doing it throughout the day, you're right. You can't go too far astray. It's like pulling it back and going, no, wait, just scooch back over here on tab. You've designed a really, I love to hear about this. You have a map so that people can find their force. And I love that you call it finding the force. It's powerful, but I don't know, relieving. When I hear finding the force, it's like such a relief. Like you're not so lost and you found your force.
Well, yeah, and it's an in word. It's finding. Yeah. It's not like I found the force. I have the answer, and it's 42. No, everybody's constantly finding the force, and so it just indicates that it's a process.
Okay.
And we also chose the force because it's really difficult to explain shamanism and spirituality, and yet such a slippery thing, consciousness. Mm-hmm. But everybody's seen Star Wars, right? And I think like every human being, even as a young woman, I looked at Luke Skywalker and I looked at Obi-Wan and I was like, oh man, I want to be like them. You know, I'm a Jedi warrior. Come on, where's my trainer? And, you know, I studied Kung Fu for years and yoga and herbalism and shamanism because I've always wanted to find that place of the force, right? And what is it, you know? So we chose that because we wanted to use a word that's familiar. It's a daily word for everyone, I think. So it saves us a lot of time of having to explain it. And all it is we're taking the traditional Native American medicine wheel, the east, west, north, and south, which is earth, air, fire, and water. And when you balance those four aspects of yourself out, then you come into the center. It's like making a table. You have to put four legs on it. Right? Yeah. And when you put four legs on a table and you have that table top, it's something steady that you can step up into. And, you know, I was inspired by the Abraham Hicks work as well. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
Really? Shoot, every day. That's actually my meditation. Oh. Every morning with my cup of tea first thing morning, that's exactly how I start that.
Oh. You know exactly what I'm talking about then. Yeah. So, you know, she's always talking about like stepping into your vortex of personal power, right? Or stepping into the vortex, or inching yourself, nudging yourself closer and closer to that. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, that sounds a lot like the medicine wheel, because we know that when you balance out all four elements, that you step into a place of personal power. So, you know, I was so inspired by her or by Abraham that I thought, well, let me try to cross-pollinate these two things, right? And really honor both of these.
Yeah. And before we go, because I'm so excited to hear that, we have to jump into commercial, but this is okay. So now we're getting to the really juicy stuff, because I do know that by you helping sharing with the listeners just a few of the steps and then how they can even work with you, that's going to make a huge difference in their lives. And I'm looking at my four-legged table right now, like, oh, yeah, it's a great step. So we'll scoot off to commercial, but when we come back, I'm so excited to dive into the steps and hear about what you've created with the system.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Like very science and shamanism.
Oh, so gosh.
I wanted to appeal to both sides of people's brains, right?
Right.
Because I was kind of a skeptic when I first started this. So I'm like, okay, I'm sure people are skeptical, right?
Yeah. I didn't think we went anywhere. are we all good, Christopher?
I'm here and I'm ready.
I'm not hearing the commercials or anything. I think that's why. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Well, we are back. And so I'm just going to recap because I recapped it and I'll recap again. I'm telling you something, Courtney, here. It's about this equinox thing.
I know. It's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Well, we can roll with it.
Yes, we absolutely can. And I just want to remind you, because I was going to repeat this anyway. I thank you so much, first of all. That is quite the gift that you've just made. That your oath was a gift. And so everybody, listeners, we were saying how she's taken an oath back when she started everything, Courtney, not she, that she would make this manual free, because your oath is to give and give and give. So I want to first of all say thank you. And I want to go get the manual. So it's at findingtheforce.com. And then you guys can go get this free PDF. It's about a 15-page manual, and she has joined shamanism with science. I think that's so cool. And it's free.
Yeah.
And you can start anywhere. I think, you know what, I'm going to do that today, in fact, actually, because this is so interesting to me, and it feels so good, and it feels so relatable, and I can understand it. And so I want to say thank you for that. So once they get the manual, so that you suggest everybody get the manual, it's free, findingtheforce.com, and then they read it, is that step one, or is there still more to step one?
No, I mean, essentially that's step one. You know, you go through the manual, and there's like a little workbook where you can do some journaling and start to kind of understand the different aspects of your own consciousness. And that's really a big step. Like, nobody tells us that we have different aspects to ourselves, and that we're a very complicated, very beautiful kind of being, you know, that unites spirit and matter. It's a miracle that we exist. But, you know, when you get a car, you get a manual with it. You know, you get driving lessons. But when we get our body and we get born, we don't seem to get any manual to go with it. And I know that you know how complicated and how amazing, you know, nutrition and the body is. But then all of the spiritual aspect of us is also very complicated and powerful, let's say.
Yeah. So it's interesting you say that about how complex, because I'll listen to a summit, let's say, and, you know, you really go deep in a summit. There's hours upon hours after days. And, you know, you listen to everything and you go, oh, my gosh. And then you think, wow, I just learned everything. And then, you know, 2 or 3 months later, another summit will come up and you'll go, I can't be that much more to learn, right? And you go, come on. There's so much more all over again. And sometimes even when you think you've nailed it and you understand, like, at least a little bit of all the systems in the body, you know what? It can be blown out of the water completely with a shift in your energy. It has nothing to do with science, nothing to do with biology, and nothing to do with what food you're eating. It's all about, you know, were you upset that day? You know, or have you healed something? And this is why I think it's so important that people do this finding the force, because, like, right now, even again, like I said, mentioned about the sciatica, I keep coming back to that because I'm so blown away, like, going, are you kidding me? This is impossible that I'm having this. And so I'm wondering, you know, if everybody could take whatever they're going through. And I think it's as a whole, their whole body, their whole lives are going to improve. Like what you said about with Esther Hicks, really what that is about, it's one, getting closer to one step better. It's just a little bit more soothing, a little bit more satisfying, and really get into that vortex. What's the equivalent in shamanism of, as a vortex? What word do you guys use?
Oh, wow.
I don't know if there was one.
Well, you know, we talk about personal power. We talk about consciousness. You know, I chose the word the force because that's a word that I think everybody understands.
Okay, so, yeah.
Like, force field up, you know, force out.
And it is like a different field, isn't it? And it's like a different playing field as well. There's so many possibilities. Like, it can just, how easy was it for you to just pack up your house, pack up your what do you say, your two kids, two cats, and just drive? Like, from where were you living before?
In Lewis, Delaware, at the beach. My parents live there at the beach, and they retired there, so I wanted to be closer to them for a while, and I knew that I could also commute to New York and D.C. very easily, and really, you know, see how I could translate shamanism for the urban, modern person, right?
Right.
So, how easy was it to come back to Albuquerque? Like, extremely easy.
Like, yeah.
Going down a water slide into a beautiful pool on a sunny day.
Oh, wow. So when you just know when you were aligned and there was a calling for you, there is, did you get, were you in meditation one time and then it came to you and you just aligned with it, or was it a thought?
You know, I came out here to do a series of ayahuasca ceremonies. And like I said, like, I have a community out here and, you know, we're all familiar with each other. You know, I scheduled like 3 ceremonies in 3 weeks. So basically, oh. I was coming out here to serve the community and, you know, to share the ayahuasca with them and the combo medicine, sweat lodge and all of that. And then, you know, it felt so amazing. It felt so right. You know, it's almost like when you fall in love and your heart opens and you feel tingly and you feel like you could fly. And it was so easy to be in ceremony with my community out here. In New York, I constantly felt like it was an uphill battle. Like, I would have to tell them again and again, hey, this is a talking stick circle. Only one person talks at a time. And it's always the person who has the stick. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay. Because everyone's trying to talk at the same time. And like, you know, it's more of a competitive feeling. Whereas here, it's like you could feel people's hearts opening up and expanding and really listening to each other. And like, just the transformation that I would feel from the beginning to the end of the ceremony was so, so powerful. I was like, you know, this is the place where I need to be to really, really serve the community that I want to serve.
Are the people,
and now my clients from New York are flying out.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Are you attracting the clients from within the community already? Or yes, are they coming from elsewhere? Because they are emerging themselves in a whole new culture, which really supports that transformation.
Exactly. It's so much better to be in this place of power where the culture and the community already exists. So someone from New York steps into a different world that predates, that pre-exists. And they go, oh my gosh, like a completely different way of being is not only possible, but it's right here. And they have these amazing transformations. And it's wonderful too, because they learn that within their own country, Native American culture still exists. You know, there are 10,000-year-old Pueblos here that they can look at, and it really kind of shakes their worldview to think that something so ancient exists.
Yes. And that it, there's just more than this concrete where it stops, you know, and the big tall buildings around, however tall, maybe they're only 3 stories, but you know what I mean? It's down in the ground deep, not up in the sky. And how long would a retreat be?
3 to 4 days. You know, we have one coming up. I was gifted by making friends with a heavyweight boxer who's now bringing all of his friends to me. Oh. And it's in Truth or Consequences. So we start on a Friday, you know, we soak in the hot mineral springs, these healing waters, and we do the combo medicine on Friday. Saturday is the big ceremony. Sunday, we have our talking stick circle, and we close things up. So, you
What's
know,
the combo
an
medicine?
Average person? Oh, that's the frog medicine.
Frog?
That one is frog, yeah.
Oh my God.
It sounds so crazy. It's the secretion of an Amazonian frog. And it essentially is a somatic reset. It cleans out your energy body. It cleans out your lymphatic system. It is the most powerful medicine on the planet, I think.
Okay, I'm gonna have to
and that's
this.
The one that people come to.
I'm actually feeling, is this, are we using the bathroom a lot? Is that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. You say that like a good thing. That's
okay. Yeah, up and down, people will be using the bathroom, and it just cleans everything out. It cleans the bile out, the toxins, the lining from the intestine that is often carrying toxins is just shed, like the skin on a snake. And people purge all of the bile and the anger. The things that we have to swallow are actually tangible and real in our body. And we swallow those things. And so people bring all of that up and they feel like a new person. It's miraculous.
Wow. The lightness, I can imagine, the forgiveness that will come up because you're not holding on to grudges. And like you said, I love that you said that all those things we have to swallow in life, that that's just what we have to do, you think. But we can purge that, you're saying. It sounds like you're filling it back up with love and harmony.
Absolutely. Yeah, what comes back in is light. And then oftentimes the next day we do the grandmother ceremony, the ayahuasca. And it's amazing because then when this spirit or this consciousness comes in, there's a clean slate to work with, like a fresh canvas,
Right.
And she's able to communicate with us a lot better because we've gotten our junk out of the way.
Yeah. Oh, it's like clean. You know what? I feel like the tagline could be becoming human again, after the retreat. Because we're not, when we have all of that buildup, that toxicity and layers of sludge, let's call it, inside, we can't be human. We're all those other, bacteria, of course, and everything that's in there, they have their own language, and that language could be of blame, shame, guilt, anger, those kind of things. And that can take over your spirit, your light.
Wow. It really does. And the culture we live in predominantly promotes that. All you have to do is turn on the TV, at least in the United States. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see the human potential and how beautiful we really are. That's the work I love.
How often would you do a retreat, a ceremony like that for 3 or 4 days?
I have people who come to me monthly and I offer them every month. I have people who come once or twice a year. The combo medicine is a little bit hard on the heart. So literally on the heart muscle, because it really, really gets in there and makes your blood flow hard.
Oh.
So, that one we only do 3 times a year.
Okay.
So we would do a 1, 2, 3, and then we let it go. And, once you reset, you got to get used to your new normal. Right.
Mm.
So, but the ayahuasca, I believe that people could do that once a month without any problem and continue to experience really great enlightenment. We also have 4 different kinds of vine that correspond to the medicine wheel. So there's a yellow vine, a red vine, a black vine, and a white vine. And each one of those appeals to a different level or layer of consciousness. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yellow, red, black, or white. And so you got your levels. And do you allow them to kind of be guided to which color of vine?
After they've gone through the entire medicine wheel and done all 4, then I allow them to pop into a ceremony and choose. Because we rotate. Like one ceremony will be all yellow vine or all red vine. And so during my time in Albuquerque in August, we went yellow, then we went white, then black, and now we'll be doing red soon. So there were 10 people who followed me through that whole step series. And now they'll be free to just jump into anything.
Wow.
You have to put the 4 legs on the table.
Yes. Yes. I love that. That's actually, okay. Our time is going to run out so fast. We still have a couple minutes, but I just can't even believe that we're nearing literally the last 2 minutes. I want to just invite everybody to reach out to you. So where would the best place be to find you?
You can find me on Meetup at Flowering Vine Clan, or at Finding the Force on Meetup. You can also go to findingtheforce.com and download the manual and get on the mailing list.
Yes.
I'm constantly developing the mailing list so that I'm sending out meaningful messages and, giving people updates on ceremony. So, that's a great way to stay in touch. If you want to get in touch with me personally, you can do urbanshamin@gmail.com. It's urban, U-R-B-A-N, and then Shamin, S-H-A-M-I-N, at Gmail.
What's the Shamin versus, is that the girl version of the shaman?
It is. I'm a girl. I'm a woman. I don't need man in my title, so I'm Shamin instead of Shaman. You know?
Oh, my goodness.
I know it's terrible. But there's so many little things that are like man-dominated in our world. And I just want there to be a balance and a consciousness that, you know, women are powerful and important.
Right. I love that. And, you know, and that's, I think that's helpful because, you know, as boys are going into men, they can respect and love the woman for herself and love himself for what he is too, and not have to overpower, you know, or power over, you know, what you were saying. And oh my goodness. In our last final minute, I'm going to have a part two here, but in our last moment, is there something that you would want to, I know we got through literally step one, but that's a great place. Everybody can do that. I want them to go there, but in the last 30 seconds, is there something that you would like to share with a final message?
I'd like to share that everybody has the power to change their mind. You can always change your mind. And the easiest way to change your mind is by just taking a deep breath and stop and just honor yourself and honor other people. The stuff that you think is outer and separate is really a part of you. You know, we're really all one on so many different levels. So, you know, strive for inner peace and strive to change your mind towards love and kindness.
Mm. How beautiful. Everything that you've shared with us has been so beautiful today. I want to say a huge thank you to Courtney, everybody out there. That's Courtney with an I. And I can't wait. I hope you'll come back again because I think there's so much more. And I just want to say a huge thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really honored. It's been wonderful.
Aw. Okay, well, everybody, please tune back in and listen to us every single week, Light on Living. It's Lisa Berry here. And please go check out findingtheforest.com. Get on the list and download your free PDF step guide there. Okay, we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye, everyone.